hearts praising the Lord. Amen. Amen. You believe something good is going to happen? Amen. Amen. I believe we have that expectation in our heart. Amen. Amen. When we come together, something good is in store. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back with you tonight. God bless you. I just want to greet our visitors again in the name of the Lord. We're thankful for each and every one that could make it out tonight to brave the Tucson winter. Amen. We appreciate the rain, though, don't we? Amen. It's good to have Brother Eli and Sister Lydia back. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the kind words, brother. We feel the same about you. And, you know, I'll just echo what Brother Eli said. You know, I get to travel around a little bit anyway and see a lot of different churches. And I've never been to another church where I said, you know, I'd rather go to church here than at home. Amen. And you know what? I hope they feel the same way about their church. Amen? They should. Because we should feel that way about wherever God has placed us. Because the main thing is that we're where He wants us. And we believe that where He puts us, we will prosper. Amen? I believe He's that kind of God. I believe that He would lead you somewhere where you can be fed, where you can prosper, where your soul can grow and prosper. Amen. I believe He's able, don't you? But I'm thankful for what we have here. Thankful for each and every one of you. Amen. Your family. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just... thank you, musicians. Sorry, I didn't mean to keep you here. But we'll go ahead and turn in the scripture here tonight. While I have you standing, we'll read the first few verses here of Psalm 42. And we just want to take the next step here in our thought that this morning about expectations. Amen. So Psalm 42, verse 1 says, as the hart, of course, that would be a deer. Nobody calls it a hart anymore. Amen. That's old King James English. But that would be a deer. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. Can you relate to the psalmist as you read these words? My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God, he clarifies. Not for the God of the past, but for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. So he went to church. Amen. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Yes. Amen. He's encouraging himself in the Lord. Why are you cast down, my soul? He's having a conversation with himself. Amen? He's talking to himself. You ever seen somebody do that? I'm not talking about somebody on the street that has an illness. But you ever seen somebody mess up and, man, they just giving it to themselves? Anybody ever done that? What are you doing? Come on. Right? His humanity is cast down, but he's given himself a talking to. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Amen. If we did that before we came to church, we wouldn't have to have the preacher do it for us. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. See, he's saying, I'm down, so I'm going to remember the victories. I'm going to think about what God has done to bring me this far. In verse 7, he says, deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy water spouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? So we want to just kind of take a subject here from this tonight as we speak about expectation. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, the encouragement that you have for us in your word. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for your presence here tonight. Lord, we've invited you. You've come. You're always on time, Lord. You're always amongst your people. And we're so thankful for that, Lord. We're so thankful for what you've done for each and every one, for the praise reports that have gone out, Lord, the prayer requests that have been made, knowing, Lord, that you're mindful of each one. And Father, we thank you for those that are visiting with us, Lord, tonight. We thank you for bringing our sister safely across the country, Father. And Lord, we're praying for our pastor tonight, Lord, that you would bless him, Father, and Lord, help him as he ministers there, and that you would bring him home safely as well, Father. And Lord, we just commit this time as we turn to your word now tonight. Father, I pray that, Lord, our expectation would be high tonight to meet with you, to have you come in a mighty way, oh God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Let me read to you a statement from the message Expectancy. He says, let's take just a little subject for the next 10, 15 minutes and say on the word expectancy. You know, usually you get what you expect to get. If you come to a meeting and say, well, I'm just going to go down there to see what I can see, I don't believe it in the first place, well, the devil's going to show you something that you won't believe. You can just depend on that. But if you are coming expecting to get a blessing, then God will see that you get it. It's just the attitude that you come in with, or that you come in if you're expecting. Now, I was reading here some time ago in the scripture, and this is the scripture that we read. He said, where David said, the deep calls to the deep, and the deep calling to the deep, there's bound to be a deep to respond to that call. As I've many times said, before there was a fin on a fish's back, there had to be water first for him to swim in, or it would have no fin. Brother Ryan, he wouldn't have any use for that fin, so he had to have water there first, and that's the reason he had a fin. And the next thing we know, well, let's see, before there was a tree to grow in the earth, there had to be an earth first for it to grow in, or there wouldn't be a tree. Because if there wasn't any earth, there'd be no tree to grow it in. Amen. So, we see, as we mentioned this morning, we're talking about expectations and how that our expectation must be within the promises of God. Right? Our expectations should be directed to and pointed to, directed on the Word of God. Otherwise, we're bound for disappointment. Amen. Otherwise, we're setting ourselves up for failure and disappointment. But we know that if our expectation is firmly founded in the promises of God for us, then we will never be disappointed. Amen. And usually we will not just only get what we expect, but many times we will get more than we expect. Amen. Because our God is an abundant God. Amen. But as the prophet said, if we expect to find fault, if we expect to find the negative, it's plenty of it's there for us to find. Amen? We will find what we're looking for. But if we expect to meet God, we will. It's very simple. Amen? It all depends on our attitude coming in to a service, for example. So, you know, we kind of left off this morning kind of with the idea that we probably could raise our expectations a little bit. Right? When it comes to the things of God, we're probably not expecting as great as we could. We need to expect that tonight we're going to have a good service. Amen? Expect that the Holy Spirit is going to do something. That we're going to meet with God. Amen? That He's going to move. That something good is going to happen. To expect the supernatural. Now, I want to kind of focus in as we move on tonight on this statement that is in the scripture that Brother Branham brings us or expounds on for us. The deep calleth to the deep. And this is one of those things in the message that, brother, sister, there's several things like this that are just simple truths that you hear him explaining. You go, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But that is a key that unlocks a whole bunch of other truth that was kind of locked up before, laying there, and just kind of a simple little nugget in the scripture that then allows us to understand, our understanding just to be open. And this is one of those. This idea or this thought that if there is a deep call, there is a deep to respond to the call. Right? What a powerful, powerful thought. Amen? So simple. Yet, like I said, it unlocks for us peace. Amen? Knowing that God's word is inspired. Knowing that we don't seek in vain. Amen? I was thinking about, you know, there are people, atheists, that walk this earth. And they think that they are just evolved from an animal. But yet there's something in them that wants eternal life. Right? I bet if you asked any atheist and asked them, would you want to live forever? Would you want eternal life? I bet most of them would say, well, yeah. Right? There's a desire there. But for an atheist, it's a frustration. Why do you think that they talk about, you know, there's mythical, it's easy for me to say, mystical stories about things like Fountain of Youth and fiction where people talk about, you know, they fictionalize immortality, right? Why? Because there's a call there. There's something in a humanity that wants immortality, that wants eternal life. But how frustrating. It's frustration for them. That's why they cling so much to medical science and to science in general. They're looking for a cure for this and, you know, something that will do this for them and maybe someday we'll stop aging. Right? And they're looking for this and that. Because there's a drive in them. Just so something so simple like that. Right? But yet, this truth in the scripture tells us that if there is a deep call, there's a deep response. Your desire for eternal life means that there is an eternal life that you could have. Amen? That longing exists. It's there. It's not a fairy tale. Amen? Oh, I feel so sorry. It's such a horrible situation to not believe. Amen. It has to be there in the first place for you to desire it. Amen? He uses the example of the little boy that was chewing on the bicycle pedals because there was a sulfur or some sort of mineral that his body needed. Well, his body wouldn't have needed it if it didn't exist. Amen? And the examples that he uses, well, there's a fin only exists because a fin is made for water. Right? We would never invent boats if there wasn't water. Why would we have a boat? Right? That's why Noah was so strange. Why do you need, what is this for? Why do we need this? There's water and it's coming. Amen? So it's such a peace for us knowing that if there's a burning desire in our hearts, again, that lines up with the Word of God, then it's, there's a response to it. Then that need is there. Or the thing to meet that need is there. Amen? And those that aren't saved, in the very end, those that are not saved, they won't be saved because they don't want to be saved. Because if you want to be saved, you'll be saved. It's pretty simple, right? It is the deep call that really tells what is inside of you. It tells what you're made of. What your desire is. Is that right? I mean, let's read some scriptures here before we kind of launch off into this. So now these are, now I like to quote these all the time. Amen. These are promises. I love these scriptures because this is Jesus promising something to us, to all people. Matthew 5:2, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen. Matthew 7:7, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Now, brother, sister, remember, we've had many teachings that go in and dive into this word shall. Right? Shall. How many believe that Jesus was who he said he was? These are the words of God. Right? This is the word of God. This is the word of the eternal God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Right? This is forever and ever and ever set. So he says shall. I mean, this is a pretty big statement. Right? Ask and it shall be given you. I couldn't say that. I couldn't tell that to somebody. Just ask and I will give it to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. This is powerful. What man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? This is the unmovable, unchangeable word of God. He said, everyone that asketh. Amen? Now, why can Jesus make such a bold statement other than the fact that he's God? Amen? He can make this bold statement because he knows that if there is a true desire, he put it there. Oh, it's so simple. Amen? We make it so complicated. But he said, no, just seek. Just ask. Just knock. Desire. And it's not just for a few that have that, but everyone that has that shall. They shall receive. They shall find. It shall Be opened. Shall is positive. It's sure. There's no wiggle room in it. Amen? Shall. Not maybe. Brother Baker's gotten into this because there's language in contracts and in things that people write in our language. And these have certain meanings. Shall means it's going to happen. Like the whole thing is null and void if that doesn't happen. Amen? Now when he was giving this word that will never pass away, this word that will never fail, when he was giving that word, do you think he knew ahead of time that you would ask? Of course he did. He knew every single one that would seek and knock and ask. Everyone that would have a pull, a deep call. Every single one. Amen? He established this word and he knew everyone that would respond. This is kind of what I meant by raising our expectations. He doesn't limit this. Now we know that it has to be again according to his will. According to his word. And I'm going to read to you that tonight as well. But inside his promises, inside his word, ask. Amen? Didn't the prophet get after the king for not asking enough? I believe, what was it? Shooting a bow, right? Shoot however many times. And he got after him. Why'd you only do it a couple of times? Just keep going. Keep asking. Brother Branham likened it to a little mouse in a granary of Egypt. I better not eat it all. Or a fish in the sea, the great ocean. I better not drink too much. Amen? Expectations. Raise our expectations. Ask. And brother, sister, the preaching of the word should raise our expectations. That's part of why we come to church. It's to encourage us. It's to build our faith to step out on the word of God. Amen? And when we come in, or when we come out, we should have our expectations to receive and to live higher, raised from when we came in. Is that right? But let me just ask you this. What if we raised our expectations before we came in? Then we would go even higher. So just coming in with low expectations, it helps. I mean, it's good to come. Right? And your faith gets built up, but just think how much higher. If we were ahead of time rehearsing the promises to ourselves, if we were listening to the message ourselves, if we were reading and praying ourselves, preparing our hearts ahead of time, amen, how much higher could the preaching of the word raise our expectations? Our pastor has a wonderful gift that God has placed in him for us. But we only scratch the surface of it by the lack of preparation. Amen. We need to have a higher expectation when we come in. If you have a word-born thirst, there's a word-born fulfillment of that thirst. Amen? If we really believe that, why wouldn't we be constantly asking and seeking, thirsting? Many times the reason is because we allow other things to satisfy that thirst. Amen? The problem is that those other things are just temporary. They don't satisfy. Amen? Just temporary. You know, it's always true that, you know, if you ever go camping or even like picnics, right? When you go out into the outdoors and you're out in the sun or you're out in the elements and then you prepare a meal, it always tastes better, right? It's one of those laws of nature. I don't really understand. I mean, it could just be a hot dog, but it tastes good, right? A hot dog prepared out, I mean, it tastes better than a hot dog just cooked in your kitchen. Because there's something about being outside in the outdoors that builds a hunger in you, right? And when you're hungry, everything tastes good. Well, not everything, but, you know, things taste a lot better, right? I mean, sometimes when we've been out and doing different things and those that like camp or hike or hunt or whatever, if you're out in nature and you've been out, if you're out all day, you know, sometimes when we go out and hunt, we're out from dark to dark, right? So we go out in the dark in the morning, early, and you stay out till it gets dark. Well, sometimes all you want is something hot. You know, I don't care what it is, man. It could be one of those microwave TV dinners that I showed you. It's hot, right? But it tastes so good because you're hungry. Now, contrast that after I've had Nico's. I don't want that thing anywhere near me. For those of you that weren't here this morning, I had a picture of a TV dinner, and it's, you know, the box, how it shows how pretty and nice everything looks, and then it showed the actual dinner, and expectation doesn't meet reality. But you know, it's just a universal truth that when we are hungry, things just taste better to us, right? And it could be the most simple meal that you could prepare, but oh, it's a feast, right? Because I'm hungry. Right, I have a desire. I have a need. Something in me is thirsting. It's an unfulfilled need in me. And brother, sister, when we come to church that way, amen, we could hear the most simple sermon. We could go, if we're hungering and thirsting, we should be able to go to any church in town that is, even if they just read a scripture and get something from it. Amen? We should just be able to read a verse out of the Bible, and if we're hungering and thirsting, it'll do something for us. But the problem is that we get filled up with other things. We get satisfied. Amen? But it's empty calories. Right? It's bad calories. It's fluff. Amen? But he said, blessed are you that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. Amen. You say, well, what do I have to do to be filled? Hunger and thirst. But what else? I mean, what do I have to do? Like, really, what do I need to do? Hunger and thirst. That's the requirement that Jesus put forth, right? Amen? I can see some of you are like, no, it ain't that simple. Well, it is. If you ever get hungry enough. If you ever get hungry enough for the Holy Ghost, you'll lay out in a field all night long. That's real hunger. That's real desperation. Every time Brother Branham brought this in, he talked about desperation. That's real hunger. I've got to eat or I will die. I've got to receive this Holy Ghost baptism or I will die. It's life and death. Well, that's what you need. Because if you're in that state, you'll do anything. Do I need to make this right? Okay, I'll make it right. What do I need to do? Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Repent. Repent of everything. Make it all right. Get it all out there. Repent of everything that the Spirit of God brings to your remembrance. Stand before Him, meeting that requirement, and hunger and thirst and seek and get desperate. And don't let anything else fill that hunger. and you shall be filled. Because he promised it. I mentioned this morning that the Pentecostals, the problem was that they became satisfied with speaking in tongues. Right? They received that and they allowed that to satisfy what thirst was there. Amen? They were thirsting for the supernatural. And they thought that they were thirsting for the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, but really they were just looking for some sign that they could point to that would prove that they were all right. Instead of desiring the true and living God. And so they took that, which was a real sign, amen? Brother Adam made that clear. Speaking in tongues, it's in the scripture. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. But they would receive that and not go further because it satisfied what little bit of desire was there. But the Word of God, it draws us higher. It creates in the believer a deeper hunger. A deeper pull. Amen? That's why we said when we come to church and the preaching of the word should build our expectation, it should create in us a desire as we see in the word, this is here for you. Well, I want that, and this is here for you. Well, I want that too. It's creating a desire for you. Amen? But you see, they were satisfied. They didn't want that. And, you know, some in this message have allowed themselves to be satisfied with an intellectual experience of the message. They become satisfied with, well, I believe God sent a prophet. Right? I'm sure we all know, have crossed paths with people like that. And, I mean, I'm sorry for them. Because there's more. Yes, God did send a prophet, but what did he say? What was he, who was he pointing us to? Amen? Go beyond, go further. Go into what he restored us to. But many are happy with that or, you know, because intellectually they say, well, I can say amen to every word. From an intellectual standpoint, I mean, that's good. But there's more. Amen? But you see, once that thirst is satisfied, there's nothing pulling. There's nothing drawing to go deeper, to go farther. Amen? That's why blessed are you that hunger and thirst. Even if you don't have it yet, just to have the hunger. To go deeper, to go farther. Amen. I'm thirsting for more. Some get so enamored with the doctrines and the truths and the mysteries and all the things that are part of this message. And it is the Word of God. But you can get so filled up with the knowledge and the satisfaction that we have all of these restored truths. That it completely quenches your thirst to go on. It quenches your hunger for more life. Amen? Yes, we have a restored truth, a restored mystery. So let's walk in more revelation of it. Let's live a more powerful life because of it. Let's have more overcoming power, more faith, more character, more like Christ. Amen. You know, one of the things that I just kind of grinds on me a little bit is, and it's just the devil, is he tries to paint a picture of two opposite spectrums and people get caught in both. But it doesn't have to be this way. But it's that you either have to embrace, you know, the the mysteries, and you have to embrace the teachings and the doctrine and revelation, or you're over here in the ditch with the Pentecostals and the gifts and the moving of the Spirit. That is a lie. Brother Branham said that, he said, I don't get too excited about not having the right doctrine. As long as I have the right spirit, it will lead me to the right doctrine. So in other words, to have the correct doctrine, you have to have the right spirit. So you have to have both. Amen? And it doesn't do you any good to have one without the other. If we are in revival, this is the way I look at it. All right, I'm just simple, Brother John. I look at it just simple. The way I look at it is, if I'm in revival, if the Spirit of God is moving and leading me and guiding me in my life, then He is going to teach me. Amen? Then I don't have to worry about doctrines and mysteries, because it will unveil itself before me. But it's only going to happen if I'm in revival. If I try and do it on my own with my own intellect or my own study habits or whatever, amen, that's just carnal. Brother Branham taught us that in the Church Age book. Right? At the very beginning, he talks about that. He talks about John. And he talks about John getting in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, you can't understand this book unless you get in the Spirit like John was. Well, isn't that what this is all about? Amen? So you cannot, we have no business preaching from the book of Revelation without the Holy Spirit anointing it. Otherwise, if we do that, we're no better than hundreds of years of theologians and Bible colleges. But if we are in revival in the Holy Ghost, He will get us in the Spirit to receive revelation, to unfold the mysteries of His person to us. We're putting ourselves in a position then to walk in revelation. But otherwise we just become intellectual, just like the rest of the denominations. Amen. I want more than that. Amen. There's something in me that's thirsting, brother, sister, to be in a word revival. A word revival. That is the word being revealed, but in power and in demonstration and in life. Yeah. Hallelujah. We can't let ourselves be satisfied with substitutes. Brother Branham tells a story about a man who had just received the Holy Ghost. And he asked him how he was doing. And he said, well, I'm pretty good and pretty bad. Right? You know the story. He says, what do you mean, pretty good and pretty bad? He says, well, I've got two dogs that live within me. One is a black dog and one is a white dog. And the white dog tries to make me do good, and the black dog tries to make me do evil. And he said, well, which one of the dogs is winning? And he said, whichever one I feed the most. Amen? I'm pretty good and pretty bad, but whichever one I feed the most. The one that wins is because of what I feed on. Now he's speaking about, now when you're born again, that doesn't take away this old sticky nature of the flesh. Amen? This old sticky nature is still there. You've got a new nature on the inside in the control tower. But that old sticky nature is still at enmity. Amen? There's still a war in your members. But whichever one you feed the most, is the one that wins. It's a cautionary tale for us. No matter who we are, no matter how long we've been serving God, no matter how long we've been born again, how long we've been in this message, I don't care how mature you are or immature you are in God. This applies. Amen? Even the most experienced believer. If that believer, born again, child of God, amen? If they stay out of church, if they stay away from the Word of God, if they don't feed on the correct things, automatically they're feeding on carnality. Just because they're in the world. They focus on natural things. And their experience will begin to dull. The strongest believer, their experience will be dulled, filled with natural things, worldly experiences. I'm not talking about sinful things, just the world. Amen? You know, things like going on a vacation is great. We need that. We need those breaks. But if that's all you did, right, you would be filled up with those experiences instead of the spiritual. Amen? So we would never do that at the expense of filling up on spiritual things. Amen. Got quiet after that. Instead, we should be feeding on the Word of God. Amen. We should be in the atmosphere of the Spirit. We should be feeding the white dog. Is that right? Amen. John chapter 4 verse 13 says this, Jesus answered and said unto her, now this is the woman at the well, speaking about the water and the well there. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, speaking of the natural water. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So these natural things can be nice, they can be a blessing, but they don't satisfy. It's temporary. Amen? This thirst, this holy thirst that God gives us, it leads us to the fountain of life. Amen. Amen. And he's speaking about someone who's seeking something, who's thirsting after something, and comes to him and it gets settled. It's settled forever. When you, brother, sister, speaking for myself, when I was seeking God, seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that well of water came, that thirst was satisfied forever. I will never seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost again. That was satisfied. It was settled. Amen? But I still want more. There's still a thirst in me that says, okay, I've got that, and now I can go on. I'm just a babe. I'm just born again. Let's go on. Amen? Then it begins to develop different thirsts. But it leads to the fountain of living water. Amen. From the message, hear his voice. He says that's when you have to cry out like Isaiah did. And he got down in the temple and he realized, then he raised his hands and he said, oh God, oh Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. You think you're good. But wait till that comes. He's speaking about the presence of God. Wait till that comes. I dwell among people of unclean lips. He says, what did it? He got desperate. When you get desperate about this thing, unless he doesn't say what it is, whatever it is. When you get desperate about this thing, something will take place. You're not desperate enough. Now that's a hard thing to say to somebody, maybe who's going through a trial, but it's the truth anyhow. If you get desperate enough, something will take place. If you want the Holy Ghost, If you get desperate enough, something will happen. I know it will. You say, oh, well, I joined church and that settles it. You see, there again, there just enough hunger, just enough thirst that could be just satisfied by that little, just joining church. He says, but that's not, he says, you got to be desperate about it. You have to really need God. Jesus said, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But as long as you're satisfied with the things of the world, how can God ever speak to you? You say, God never spoke to me. Why? He wants to. Amen? So, I've never heard directly from God. Why? I love how the prophet just says that. Why? He wants to. But, he says, you're too filled up with the things of the world. Your mind is filled up. Your attention is being taken by this and by that and by... You're too filled up by the things of the world. We have to slow down and listen. Amen. God never spoke to me. Why? He wants to. But you're too filled up with the things of the world. That's what's the matter with us today. We put all of our time on things of the world and pleasures of the world and give no time to God. It's true. How sad. What a sad statement. That we would put so much time on the things of the world and not enough time given to God. My. You need to know that you really need God. Amen. You need to know that the world doesn't satisfy. We can't just feed on the carnal things and expect to prosper spiritually. You know, the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. Right? And some people take that and, you know, it gives us an excuse to not exercise. Amen? Bodily exercise profiteth little, the Bible says, but godliness is profitable unto all things. In fact, I think I put that scripture in. Can we read that? Yeah, let's put that up there. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. It's going to profit you here, and it's going to profit you there. Amen? But, I was thinking about this a little bit, that, what's true about exercise, and it's even more true as we get older, is that if you can exercise and get yourself into condition, and over the past couple of years, I've been trying to keep myself in a kind of a physical condition where I can, I can hike and do things and kind of maintain kind of a level of fitness and not drop below that so that it's hard to get back to it. Because if you drop down, it's a lot of work to get back. Right? It's a little easier to maintain. But if you don't maintain it, you will slowly drop back. And actually, like I said, as you get older, it's not as slow. It goes a lot faster. Used to be, you know, it's like, oh, you can go take a hike every month or so, and man, you just pick right up where you left off. Now it's not so much. But you have to maintain it, right? It's not something that you just do once in a while. We see the types here. Amen? It's something that you have to put some time into it. And it has profit to it. It profits little, but it profits. But what about our spiritual exercise? He said there to seek God or exercise thyself to godliness. Amen? We have to work for a good physical condition. Well, what about our spiritual condition? exercise to godliness. Exercise. Amen? As long as we are in these bodies, we have to tend to our physical, our spiritual condition. We have to exercise to godliness. We have to, and he even says later, if you go read that fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, he even tells him things to do. He says, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to meditate on these things, to spend time. Exercise. Spiritual exercise. It feeds the thirst that's in our soul. Amen. Let's just go on here quickly tonight. Psalm 62 verse 5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. My expectation is from Him. Amen? He's the one I'm looking to satisfy my soul's desire. I'm not looking to other things. Many times, brother, sister, people look to other people. That's why people get caught in bad relationships. They'll go off and marry the wrong person because they're looking. They're trying to satisfy a hunger that only God can fill. That's why we always say you have no business going out and looking for a mate or having, you know, entering courtship or anything like, even thinking about getting married until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Get that straight first, because you'll be looking for the wrong things. You'll be looking to fill that hunger that is meant to be filled by God first. And then once He fills that, then He's going to give you the right perspective to look for the right things. Amen? But people look to other people. They look to family members, or they look to friends to try and fill that. That's God's place. Amen? Amen. If I don't have another friend in the world, I have a friend in Jesus. He's my first friend. Amen. Don't go looking somewhere else. Instead, just look to Him. So expectations, we want to read this one from Expectancy. He says, it's a great thing to expect something. Usually get what you expect. Some people come into the meeting and say, well, I didn't expect to get anything out of it. Well, they won't. But those who expect to get something, God will give them their expectations. If they're doing it reverently and in the fear of God. Now he says, now always to find out something, first is to find out whether it's the will of God or not. And then if it's the will of God, then your objective to it, and then your mode of doing it. And if it's the will of God, and your objective is right, and your motive is right, it's got to happen. Amen. So we were talking about this morning, you can't just, you know, put one of your fleshly desires out there and expect God to give that to you. It's got to be according to His word. It's got to meet this criteria. But if it does meet the criteria, it's got to happen. He says, there's just no way to keep it from happening. Oh, hallelujah. But first, find the will. If it's God's will, then what's your objective in doing it? If it's selfish, you'll never get it done. But it's got to be real, clean, and clear before God, or it just won't happen. That's all. You got to always keep that on your mind, that it's got to be clean and clear. Your cups must be clean and clear before God, or God cannot work with you. But if you've done that, brother, sister, then you can expect it to happen. There's no way to keep it from happening. I mean, that's pretty positive, right? There's not a lot of gray area in there, I don't think. From the Message Thirst, he says, greater should be the thirst of any soul for the waters of life than to say you belong to a church. See, what he's saying is that is so much higher, so much greater. That desire, the thirst of a soul for the waters of life. People that are just satisfied with joining a church or saying that they believe the message. Amen. It's so much higher than that. He says the thirst of the soul can't be satisfied, the real true thirst. It can be perverted. You can think you're all right when you join the church, but that isn't it. That won't satisfy the genuine holy thirst for God. It just simply won't do it. It's just not there. David said in Psalms 42:7 here, when the deep calleth into the deep, at the noise of thy waterspouts, he says that's the soul's call. The soul's call. Look, I've often used this as an illustration. If there's a fin on a fish's back, it had to be put there for him to swim with. He has a need for that. Now, if he'd say, I'm going to be a different fish, I'm going to be a smart, educated fish, I'm going to believe some real theology, I don't think I have to have that fin, he wouldn't get very far in the water, would he? And that's exactly right. What if a tree said, now, I know there had to be an earth first for me to grow in, that's right. I'm supposed to grow in the earth, but I'm going to be a different tree. I want them just to set out here, or set me out here in the middle of the street so I can be noticed. He wouldn't live very long, see? That's right. When the deep calls to the deep, it takes more than joining a church. It takes more than living a good straight life. It takes something to satisfy you. It pours down from God into the soul. The deep calling to the deep at the noise of the waterspouts. Oh, Lord, the deep calling to the deep. What kind of a thirst could we think was in us tonight? We as Pentecostal people, where are we getting to? What kind of a thirst is in us? What kind of a thirst is in me? What kind of a thirst is in you? Don't try to hush the holy thirst for God. Now he says something really important there. I mean, a lot of things really important. But right at the end, I just want to focus in on that, where he says that that thirst is a holy thirst from God. Amen. God gave you that thirst. This is, as I was saying a little earlier, this is how we know it's so sure. This is how we have such confidence in what God has promised. We have confidence to come boldly before the throne of grace. Because he said, if you have the thirst, I will meet the thirst. And the reason he said that is because he gives you the thirst in the first place. He knows what he's doing. And when he gives you that thirst, it's a holy thing. Not everybody has it. He says, and oh, that we would try to hush that holy thirst. Something that God has placed in you. Blessed are you for thirsting for God. Don't hush that thirst. Instead, allow it to drive you to the water. To get where the water is pouring out. To get where the Holy Ghost can come and fill you. Just have a few more quotes here, if that's all right. This is also from the message Thirst. This was preached here in Tucson, 1965. Is right near the end of his ministry. By your desire, you can tell who is on the throne of your heart. By what you love, that's what tells. You say, well, I think them things are all right, Brother Branham. Well, you just remember now in your heart, you know what's there. Yes, sir. By what is feeding your soul, or what your soul is thirsting for. And you can see it satisfies it. If it isn't this word, then there's something wrong. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the word only, see? I want you to see another great danger just before we close. He says, if you're not guilty of any of these things that I've mentioned, that is the danger of neglecting a thirst. Now look at the words he's using here. Danger. Amen? He's trying to warn against these things. He says that is the danger of neglecting a thirst. You say, I have a holy thirst. But I'm not guilty, Brother Branham, of just going and joining a church and things like this. But see, to neglect that thirst, if you neglect to satisfy a thirst of water or food, you'll die. And if you neglect the thirst of in you for God, you will spiritually die. You call for revivals. You wait. I want to focus in on just this section here. Bear into this for a little bit. He says, you wait for your church to have a revival. What is wrong with this picture? You are waiting for the church to get in revival. And you're criticizing and saying, why isn't the church in revival? Right? We get together and why isn't this and why isn't that and why? There must be something. What's right? He says, you wait for your church to have revival. He says, well, that ain't the revival for you. The revival ought to begin right in you. When you begin to thirst for God, there might not be another member of the church wanting that revival. I was going to ask for a show of hands, but I won't do it. But I bet there's more than one person here tonight that would want revival. Okay, so we're not even in this category. He says there might not be another member of the church wanting the revival. Okay, I guarantee you tonight there's another member of the church that wants revival. But even if there wasn't, he said you could still be in revival. He said if it breaks out in you, it'll break out in other places. You see, we're always pointing the finger. Why aren't we in revival? It's probably the pastor's fault. Right? Probably the song leader's fault too. It's somebody else's fault. Why isn't this and why isn't that? The question should be, are you in revival? Now look, the rest of the church might not get in revival. But I guarantee you, if you get in revival, you won't care. Amen. Because you'll come to church and you'll meet God. You'll be having a good time in the Spirit. Amen. And everybody will look good to you. And you won't be worried about it. You'll pray for them. But they aren't hindering you. But you see, if you do that, he says, the revival ought to begin right in you. How do you do it? When you begin to thirst for God. There might not be another member of the church wanting that revival, but he says, if it breaks out in you, it'll break out in other places. See, but he says, but you neglect that thirst. Neglect. You know what neglect means? It means you don't pay enough attention to something. Right? You just kind of, it's not that you are against it. It's not that you don't want it. It's just that you don't pay it quite enough attention. You're not giving it the focus that it needs. Is that right? He says, and then he gives us some examples. You neglect to milk the cow. When the udder is full of milk, you let the cow stay that way, she'll go dry. Now, I'm sure many of you are not aware of how this works, but this is true. Okay, when a milk cow gives birth to a calf, agriculture lesson for a moment here, okay? So you understand what he's talking about. When a cow gives birth to a calf, the milk is for the calf, right? And as long as that calf is sucking that milk, that cow will continue to produce the milk for that calf. But as soon as the calf gets old enough and it's weaned, right, off of the milk, begins to eat other things, then it's no longer needed and the cow goes dry. That's it, right? Stops producing milk. Because it takes a lot of calories for the cow to produce that. So it's part of the natural cycle. It just stops producing because there's no calf to drink it. But man being, you know, smart like we are, we figured out that, well, it has a calf, and if we keep milking the cow, it will keep producing milk because it's being milked. Right? And so the natural process, there's a pull, right? There's a desire. And so that natural process, it keeps meeting that desire. So he says, you neglect the thirst. What happens? It dries up. Your experience dries up. He says, you neglect to milk the cow. The udder is full of milk. You let the cow stay that way, it'll just go dry. That's exactly right. If you neglect to take a drink of water and I just say, I ain't going to drink anymore, you'll die. If you neglect to eat food, you'll die. So if you neglect to give the Holy Spirit the Word of God, you'll die. Just neglect. Not against it. Not saying anything against it. Just neglect. Amen. Now, we've been, I say we, many of us, have been part of wonderful outpourings, wonderful meetings, wonderful experiences of God. You know, I my formative years, if I could put it that way, in this message were times of revival and outpouring. That's what I expect. That's what I associate with this message. Is the Holy Ghost moving in power in the church? That's what I expect. That to me is normal.
Amen.
Amen? But brother, sister, it takes pressing to keep that. And when you get out of that condition, it takes even more press to get back into it. And I can tell you from experience, we've been in meetings. I can say we, many of us. We've been in those meetings. Amen? And I have seen things change. I have seen meetings become explosions of outpouring. Because there were people hungering and thirsting and seeking. There were people at the altar before church started, praying, getting in the anointing, getting in the Spirit, crying out to God. When the preaching was done, they were at the altar praying and pulling and seeking. They were calling out to God and creating an atmosphere. They were pressing. And many people benefited because of the few that did that. I have seen young people do that. I have seen young people change an entire convention meetings. Just a handful. I've seen it happen. It doesn't matter, young, old. But I've seen a few change entire meetings. Because they pressed. Because they wouldn't settle. Because they had a hunger. And they pressed and pressed and pressed. We've been in meetings that have gone all night long, right? I mean, that's not an exaggeration either. 3 a.m, 4 a.m. We've been in those meetings. Why? Because there was a hunger there. We've been in those meetings where, Brother Mike, we go through 5 song leaders. You were one of them probably. I know I was at one of them for a while. Those meetings where you just go through song leader after song leader because they lose their voice. Or they go spinning off in the Spirit of God, just lost. Dancing. Amen? Now this shouldn't, I'm telling you this because I'm hoping to raise expectations. Right? We shouldn't be looking back at these things saying, well, that was back then. And He's the same. Today, the only difference is, what are we expecting? What are we believing for? And some of you, I don't know all of you, all your history, but some of you maybe have never been in services like that. And I can tell you that it's real. It's for today. Amen. When Brother Branham talks about all-night prayer meetings, it's not just a turn of phrase. That is a real experience that we can have. Amen? Now, I can guarantee you, brother, sister, because look, when I mentioned that meeting, I'll just use that meeting as an example. We were there. I think it was probably 4 in the morning by the time we stopped. I think we started at 6 p.m. Those of you who were there probably ended at 4, something like that in the morning. Now, there was not one of us that was in that meeting, and not everybody stayed. You know, it's fine. I mean, it was just a small upper room group at the end. A couple dozen, maybe a dozen. I don't know. I was well. I was kind of out of it, brother Merritt, right? But I can tell you what the reason I'm telling you that is because there was none of us looking at our clock, going, "Well, I wish this meeting would just get over." We were out of it. Brother John, we were drunk on the Spirit. Amen. We weren't looking for the service to end. We were just enjoying the presence of God. We didn't know what time it was. Right? And that's the thing. Whenever we talk about these things, what happens, the first thing is your flesh goes, "Man, I don't know if I can do that." Right? I got to get to bed. I got to get to work tomorrow. Right? Your flesh, you start thinking about the flesh, and your flesh is thinking about itself. But if you're ever in that, you're not worried about it. Right? The point is to get in the Spirit, and it doesn't have to be all night. It could just be for a couple minutes. Amen? But a couple minutes in His presence. Oh, that's a whole lot better than a few hours outside of it. But brother, sister, it takes a hunger. It takes us seeking. It takes us thirsting for it. Amen? Not dragging ourselves in late. It's us coming in ready, expecting. Maybe even we need to miss a meal or two to help us break through. I don't know. I'm just telling you what's on my heart. Amen? Things that should be, I should have more in my life. More desperation. More hunger, more thirst. Each of us should bring our own revival. Yeah. Amen. Preacher would have a lot easier job if we brought our own revival instead of bringing our own devils. Amen. Somewhere Brother Baker is saying amen. Let's read the next one here. The invisible union of the bride of Christ. He says, "Do you really mean it? Say amen." Say amen. He says once more. Say, "Lord, search me. Amen. Try me. Amen. Give me an opportunity." Yes. This is all I can do tonight, is give myself to you. You know the hunger of my heart. See, he's helping us break through. He's trying to guide the people to break through. This is what you say. This should be your attitude. This is all I can do tonight. I give myself to you. You know the hunger of my heart, Lord. You know my desire. Your promise was to fulfill that desire. Now I expect it, and I surrender to you. Altogether, I surrender. So then they sing, "I surrender. I surrender all." And then the next one, God is his own interpreter. Amen. This is the last one, I believe, that we have here tonight. Oh, no, we have one more after that. Okay. "Our Heavenly Father, a word from you would mean more than all men at any time could do or say, because people are waiting to see it." He's praying. Okay? And I just wanted to read this because I think this could express our heart's desire here tonight. He says, "And we thank thee because there is those who are under expectation. They are looking for something to happen. And when the people are thirsting for something, the deep calling to the deep, there must be a deep to respond to that call. And that's why we're here tonight. I hope that's why we're here tonight. Because it was upon these ministers' hearts and the people to call us together to ask you for favors and blessings, believing that you'd heal the sick and save the lost and will manifest your word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll grant this to us as we humbly wait on you. Night after night, may there be such a pouring of the Holy Spirit. And may every person be blind to anything else around them except God. May there be such a great cry go out among the people, thirsting for God, till there'll come a revival through the country here, and every church will be packed full of people, sinners crying out to God for God to have mercy, and the Holy Spirit healing the sick, making the lame to walk, raising the dead, granting these things that's been promised in thy word. Come, Lord Jesus, and fulfill thy promise. Come to us tonight. We believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that your promises cannot fail. Both heaven and earth will fail, but your word will not fail. May our understanding be opened. May the Holy Spirit come and lay the fallow ground. May our understanding be open to the Spirit and power of God tonight, that he might manifest his promised words through us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many would say amen to that prayer? Amen to that prayer. Each of us should desire our own revival. Amen. What are we willing to do to get it? There's always a price to pay. Amen. But it's life and death, brother, sister. It's life or death. There's many that are struggling in our church, in our congregation. They're battling. They're fighting. They're battling things like seizures, right? They're battling demons. They're battling other health conditions. They're battling trying to receive the Holy Ghost. They're fighting this. They're fighting that. Many that are struggling and battling. And these are life and death battles. They're not to be taken lightly. And they need the rest of the church to bring a revival. To bring an atmosphere where they can be healed, where they can be delivered. They need the rest of the body to circle around them. Amen? To not bring in evil spirits, to not allow demons in, but instead to withstand the works of the enemy. Amen? To create a bubble of faith around them. Amen? They need that. And someday, maybe that's you that needs it. Someday it will be you. But that's how we help each other. We can help each other always by praying for each other. But we can help each other by bringing our own revival. Because it'll catch on. It'll bless somebody else. It'll affect the service. It will make a difference. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand tonight, and I just want to read one more little statement here. The musicians, if you'd come tonight. This is from the message, Thirsting for Life. Brother Branham tells us a story, or he tells us about this deer. We read the scripture to start tonight. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. And Brother Branham is going to dramatize it and show it from his experience as a woodsman. And he tells us that a deer that's wounded, amen, that's been attacked, it goes for water. But let's look at this just real quick here. He says this little deer will get out to itself away from the herd. And that's the one the wolf works on. Amen. It's true for deer, it's true for sheep. That's the one the wolf works on. And to you, old man or woman, when you separate yourself from believers, Now, I don't know what people that don't go to church, stay home, play tapes, whatever, do with this quote. Maybe they never play this one. But he says, people say I can stay at home and be just as good a Christian as I can at church. And he says, you can't. Now, that's pretty plain. You can't. I can. You can't. This is the prophet saying this now. This is a quote. The Bible said not to forsake our assemble ourselves together, and that much more as we see the time coming. If you're a Christian, you long to go where other Christians are. If you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you long to go where other Christians are and fellowship with other Christians. So you cannot stay away from church and live the same life. You can't do it. Because it's like, I'm hungry, but I'll never go to a table. I'll just never eat. I just ain't gonna do it. See, you've got to go and feed on the Word of God and fellowship one with another. You've got to. So a little in the same message further on or above that, I don't remember which, but he tells us about this deer. And he says the wild dogs, to give us the example, in Africa, they might attack a deer. And they might wound it. And it's bleeding and it's starting to get weak. It's feeling its life drain from it because it's wounded. And he said that it will run as hard as it can to find water. Right? He's taking that scripture. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. A deer that's wounded, it knows that if it cannot get to the water, it will die. That's what we're talking about. That's how my soul longeth for thee. If I can't get to that water, I will die. It's urgent. It's immediate. The deer doesn't just say, well, maybe next Sunday. Maybe next time. Next service. If I feel like it. If I don't have a vacation on that day. Right? It's immediate. It's urgent. It's desperate. It knows it will die if it doesn't get to water. But if it can get to water, then that water does a few things for it. Brother, sister, that water, he can confuse the dogs. Because he can walk in and out and up and down in the water, and it can confuse the scent. They can lose the trail. He can get away. And then that cold water, he says, it will help stop the bleeding. It's soothing. And then he can drink it. And it provides life to him. Amen? But if he can't get the water, he'll die. And he said, that is like a wounded Christian. The devil comes after us. The devil wounds us. He comes for us. We must realize that it's life and death. It's not something to be played with. And when he's wounded you, don't go running off somewhere else. Amen. Run to the water. Amen. Run to the fountain. Amen. Seek after water. Leave everything else behind. That deer doesn't worry about eating at that time. There's lots of things that deer worry about, right? They food and shelter, and when it's breeding time, they worry about that. But he wasn't worried about any of that. He's worried about water. I've got to get to water. As that deer panteth for that water, so my soul longeth after thee. The devil wants to keep you away from that water. He wants to keep you away from coming to church. He wants to keep you away from an old-fashioned outpouring of the Holy Ghost. He wants to keep you away from a born-again experience, a death, and a rebirth to new life. He wants to keep you away from a revival. He wants to do everything he can to keep you from that water. Because he knows when a believer gets in revival, it means he's defeated. Amen. Amen. When those believers walked around doing miracles and they were preaching and doing different things, the devil didn't give a lot of notice until the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came back on them. And suddenly, the one who was walking around defeating him at every turn now was in all of them. And suddenly, this man Peter, who could be influenced and could be afraid and, you know, would deny the Lord, suddenly he was speaking with power. Suddenly he had some unseen hidden power in his life. And that's what makes the devil nervous. He doesn't worry about theology. He doesn't worry about learning doctrines. He gets nervous when the Spirit of God begins to ignite the believer. Amen. I like it when he's nervous. I like it when he's defeated. Amen. But Brother Branham said, it's like saying you're hungry and never going to a table when there's a table spread. Brother Branham said, the skies are full of the true blessings of God. Amen. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is knock. All we have to do is seek. All we have to do is thirst. All we have to do is come. If you're weary tonight, come. If you're hungry, come. Amen. Jesus has a table spread for you tonight. Just come. Come, drink freely of the living water. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Father, how we love you tonight, Lord. How I thank you, Lord. Lord, that you promised that if we had a burning desire in our hearts, Lord, for more of you, that was because you put that there, Lord. That you were going to meet that desire. That something you placed there, Lord, it's a holy thing, oh God. Lord, and it's something that you put in the heart of the believer so that they would come and receive what they have need of. Lord, I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful, Lord, to want more of you. And I'm thankful that there's more of you tonight. There is a higher walk. We can live higher. We can have revival in our lives and in our families and in our homes and in our church. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that there's still grace and mercy. There's still a bloody lamb. Lord, you're making intercession for us. That if we come and confess our faults, Lord, we repent, oh God, we lay all of our sin at your feet, Lord. You promised, you're faithful and just to forgive us of everyone, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and fill us with your Spirit, Lord. We're thankful for that grace. We're thankful for that mercy. We're thankful, Lord, that it's still, there still is time. We want to redeem that time, Lord. We want to take advantage of it, Lord. Every opportunity that we have. I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord God. Lord, to lift up our brothers and sisters around us, oh God, to help and not hinder, Lord. To create an atmosphere, Lord God, where people can be helped, where people can be touched by you, Lord. As we believe, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that you're still in the business, oh God, of filling, Lord, of inspiring, Lord, of setting souls on fire. You're still in that business, Lord. You're still the great fountain. And Lord, we're thirsty tonight. We desire more of you. Father, I just pray that as each one, Father, as your word goes out to each one, Lord, that it would just touch every heart tonight, Lord. Lord God, that it would not just be, that's nice, I believe that, amen, and walk out unaffected, but that there would be a change, Lord, that we would be coming up higher. Every time we come together, Lord, that we would step higher and higher. Lord, I would just pray, just like your prophet prayed, Lord, that there would be the workings of God, the supernatural, that there would be the blessings of God in our midst. Thank you, Father. We love you so much, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for this group of believers, Lord, that wants this. They want life. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe. Fill your heart. Love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your feet, it's overwhelming. Hallelujah. More I seek you, the more I find. Oh, think about that. He wants you to have more tonight. The more I find you. Hallelujah. The more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand. into this water tonight. Hallelujah.
Oh, come to this water. There is a vast supply. For there is a river that
it's here for you tonight, that living water.
There came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled their hearts with
a promise tonight.
The Spirit will descend and from your inner being a river with no end.
Hallelujah. There's a living water tonight
that flows from deep within, and there is a fountain that frees the soul from sin.
Won't you come tonight,
won't you come to this water? For there is a vast supply.
Hallelujah, He can meet every thirst that you have tonight.
Are
we like that woman tonight, thirsty tonight?
Drawing from a well.
Her life was ruined and wasted.
Her soul was bound.
Oh, that was our condition before He found us.
Then she met the Master.
Hallelujah!
Who told of her great sin.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you drink this water,
Lord,
that flows from deep within.
Amen. It was not something that was to be played around with. That water represents life. One of these days, brother, sister, grace will be over. And it's coming soon. We know it's coming soon. Amen. We see the signs all around us. There's nothing left in prophecy other than the last one to come in. And when that happens, no more mercy. Amen. It's all done. But right now, there's a space of time. Right now, he's calling. Right now, there's an opportunity to come to that water. Amen. Let's not neglect the main thing. Let's not neglect, oh, I just want to drink. I want to drink and drink until I can't drink anymore. Amen. And then when I get thirsty again, I want to drink some more. Now is the time. We have an opportunity. Amen. Let's sing it again. Oh, there.